Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. We got all kinds of tee times open. Volcano, it's 53 degrees, so you want to bundle up. There's an 8:50, a 9:18, 11 o'clock. Stargazers are going out. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Makalei has an 8:40 and a 10:10. Poipu, 8:50, 11:40. Turtle Bay, 8:30, 9:30, 11:08. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 11:34, 10 o'clock. Eva Beach Golf Course, 9:16, 11:08. Maui's Gold Course, Wailea, 8:50, 11 o'clock. Emerald Course, 11:30, 11:40. And the Coke Group, they're heading out. Yeah, you take care of the formula for that Coca-Cola. Emerald Course, 11:30 and 11:40. Excuse me, I'm just losing my voice here. The Blue Course has an 8:40, a 9:10, a 9:30, a 9:40. And, you know, we're having a wonderful day. Maui Nui is sold out. The Isaac Group and the Thumpers. That's like when you hit the ball with a hustle. Yes, we're going to be talking with Mark Rolfing this morning. Coming up, Jeremy Schilling, Amanda Kuna, Allison Wallace, Scott Reinhart, Chris Noda, but we're kicking it all off. We got a lot to talk about. Mark Rolfing, analyst, commentator, and NBC and Golf Channel. We'll be back right after this.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii. Quality cameras to capture the memories. Now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
All right, now let's bring him into the clubhouse, he's in the waiting room there where you have coffee or a little something to eat. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, member Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. Welcome into the studios of the Golf Club. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. What a bizarre Friday. Tiger Woods going off the course in a golf cart again in the middle of a tournament. And Jordan Spieth is DQ'd for signing an incorrect scorecard. All of this happening at the Genesis Invitational yesterday. I mean, all right, where do you want to start? With an incorrect scorecard or Tiger Woods?
Well, I actually want to start with how weird this entire year has been. Yes, yesterday was a strange year, but if you think about 2024 on the PGA Tour, you know, we were so looking forward to the year. We were going to have all the top players on the PGA Tour in these signature events playing together, and we expected to see all kinds of superstars win tournaments, and then we kind of start off with Chris Kirk and Grayson Murray and Nick Dunlap, and you look at the PGA Tour winners this year. I mean, they're all great guys and wonderful performances, but after yesterday, I'm kind of thinking the PGA Tour wouldn't mind sort of a restart on 2024.
Yeah, some people are saying, yeah, Liv's got it made. Oh, dear. All right. Let's start with Tiger. Tiger Woods. You know, we're so excited to see him back on the course. Yeah, he shot a 72 on the first day. I didn't have a problem with any of that. He's just back, and having him back, it's so exciting. And then everyone who saw him said he didn't seem right on the first day. And obviously, he wasn't right at all on the second day with, they called it, flu-like symptoms, dehydration. Give us your take on all this.
Well, my take is this, Danielle. We should be thrilled and just treasure every moment that we can see Tiger on the course, because they're going to be limited and they're going to be fewer and fewer. And I think the most important part, if you're a Tiger fan, and I certainly would fit in that category, is you have to manage your expectations. you know, if you think about the car accident of 3 years ago, Tiger's made six official starts since then. He's teed off in six tournaments since then, and he's only completed 72 holes twice. WD'd three times and missed one of those cuts. So this really doesn't surprise me. If you look at physically what he has been through, his injury list reads like an encyclopedia of what could go wrong with somebody's body. And you have that many surgeries, you know, fusions on two different parts of his body, his back and his ankle. It's going to wear you out eventually. And yesterday was not related to his back or his ankle. But I think his body is just so prone now to having something gone wrong. It kind of reminds me of the Toby Keith song, who sadly passed a couple weeks ago, where he said, "Don't let the old man in. My body's weathered and worn." You know, that would be a perfect description of Tiger Woods.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, but, you know, on the positive note, he said his ankle, since the fusion, really works well. He learned how to walk with it. I mean, here's a guy who not only has his ankle fused, but then he's got to, through rehab, figure out how to walk with this newly fixed, so to speak, ankle. That is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Look, I'm not as worried about Tiger's ankle or his back. You know, clearly something went wrong with the back when he shanked that shot on Thursday afternoon, but I am most concerned about the fact that Tiger just doesn't look like he's competitively prepared to me. And that is totally understandable. He used to have this aura of intimidation, Danielle. You never knew whether he was injured or not. He was just so within himself in terms of the information that he let out. And we heard him say that on Thursday on the first tee he was really nervous. You would have never heard Tiger say something like that before. And to me, that makes him human and vulnerable. And I just don't think competitively he is as prepared as he used to be. And that is totally understandable.
Yeah, absolutely. It is wonderful. I love seeing him on the course. I love what he said. He presented with the hosel. Someone said, you know, from now on, I'm going to say when I shank it, I presented with the hosel. I mean, it's just, you know, who comes up with, only someone, obviously, you know, he's got, his brain is nicely intact, and it must be very frustrating at times when your mind is there, but your body just won't go. And that's the real hard part of it all. But I have faith, absolute faith, that with time, it's all going to come together, and he's going to play not the way he played 10, 20 years ago, but he's going to perform at a high level. Jordan Spieth, now this one raised all kinds of hubbub on social media. Disqualified for signing an incorrect scorecard at Genesis Invitational yesterday. Isn't the caddy supposed to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen? Don't they check?
Well, yeah, there's a number of you know, sort of checkpoints on your scorecard that shouldn't allow you to sign an incorrect card. To me, the big question is, why are players having to sign their scorecards at this stage in sports anyway? You don't see that really anywhere else. You know, when the Super Bowl was over, Kansas City did not have to sign some kind of a scorecard to say how many points they had in that game. Everybody knew how many points they had in that game, and everybody knew how many strokes Jordan Spieth had taken yesterday. The real, I think, reason why that rule is in place and has been for years is that there's only one person that knows what a player's score truly is, and that's the player himself. There could have been a penalty that he incurred that only he knew about at some stage. That is why the USGA has that in the rule book. But as the world has progressed, and as we have TV cameras everywhere and electronic scoring, we have shot link and we have all this stuff, I really feel like it may be time to reexamine whether or not that rule you know, is relevant these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And 9 out of 10 comments on social media was, why are they still adding it up themselves? In fact.
Well, you know, if you think about it, what worries me, Danielle, is that I look at the sports fans around the world, and golf is such a small market. Yeah. We all get wrapped up so much in golf because we love it and we're golf fans, but you think about the NFL, which has been in the forefront the last month, and how many millions and millions and millions of people watch the Super Bowl on TV. Golf is such a small niche market, and I'm worried that the rest of the sports fans, which we need to be casual golf fans, we need them. I'm worried that they're going to look at golf and say, what is wrong with you people? Why do you have these stupid rules, you know, where a caddy can't stand in a certain place while a guy's hitting a shot, or a player has to sign his card correctly, or whatever, you know, kind of rules we have. I'm worried that the casual sports fans are going to say, too much. We're going to some other sport.
Yeah, you know, a part of that is we're so, we love our history. You know, the history of the game comes with us. And so this is all part of what's always been done. So this is how it's going to be done. And Dylan Wu said, the hot take, but this is equivalent to forgetting to write your name on a test. Well, you know, maybe, but probably not. It's much more intense because it implies that you've cheated. And that's another comment that came out. You know, what is he doing? Cheating?
Yeah, there's a difference between a rules violation and cheating. Clearly, he did not cheat. Clearly, he did, as it now exists, have a rules violation there. The single most important thing, I think, for me, is that the fans of golf should enjoy the result, enjoy the experience of being a golf fan. And if we have situations where they are not enjoying it, which not very many people enjoyed seeing Jordan Spieth be eliminated for the weekend, that's not going to be good. So we have to make it less and less likely that this type of thing can happen. Maybe it's not totally changing the rule, but just sort of amending it a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So on a more positive note, Will Zalatoris won a car, hole-in-one, his caddy and himself, they both got a car for hitting that hole-in-one.
Yeah, he did. That's great, him and the caddy. I'll tell you what worried me was when his caddy lifted him up by his back up in the air. I mean, this is a guy whose back's worse than Tiger Woods almost. And I thought, oh, my heavens, don't do that. That's just what we didn't need. But it's great seeing Zalatoris come back like this. He really has come along faster than I thought he would. He clearly had a great regimen to get himself recuperated and back in good golf playing condition from the back surgery. And wouldn't surprise me to see him win it all by summertime.
That would be nice. That would be nice. He's a great kid. And I can say that because I'm old. Okay. I wasn't really surprised by those who didn't make the cut. You know, great players, but this is a hard golf course. Riviera is a hard golf course. This isn't an easy golf course. And there was a lot of talk about it being a little bumpy. Can you explain that for folks who don't understand quite that term?
Yeah, so but bumpy, if you think about the West Coast and the weather that they have gone through in California, we've seen the Pineapple Express come through Hawaii with all the rain we've had, and it, of course, ended up in California, and the ground is very, very soft there. So where typically the ground is firm in California, this year it's soft. And so there's all kinds of indentations from people walking and traffic, and the greens are bumpy. You watch guys putt, the ball's airborne half the time when it's rolling to the hole. So yes, it is kind of a strange year for playing conditions. But if you take a look at the guys that are really good at certain aspects of the game, it doesn't affect them. Patrick Cantlay is a great putter, and he has putted even better than normal this week. On the other hand, Scottie Scheffler is not a very good putter, and I think the conditions when you're not a very good putter have actually magnified how poor a putter he is this week.
This poor guy is taking his putter from one tournament to the next tournament in the same state. And you know, in fact, my next question is, what's going on with Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa? Hey, I'm baffled by their performances.
Yeah, it's strange. The start of the year is always a strange start. And interestingly for me, as you know, I'm shifting gears now and getting ready to go back to the Golf Channel studio in Connecticut the week after next. And then I'm at Bay Hill as the analyst with Brandel Chambly, in Bay Hill. And then we go on to Players from there. And so I have to start getting myself this time of year prepared mentally to think about what I'm really going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so confused. I have never had a year like this where I really can't figure out what's going on, because half the time I turn on the golf and they're not playing because there's some sort of a delay going on, or it's been a top of Kai kind of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, I watch Rory. He does something spectacular, follows it up with something sloppy. Poor Scotty, that putter and him just are not getting along. And he finally took it out on the putter yesterday just a little bit. And I don't blame him. That's not the best behavior. But, I would have at that point had a good talking to it, too. And Colin Morikawa, he's a California kid. So I expected him, just to be a little bit stronger in California. But again, it's bumpy right now. Now, Patrick Cantlay going into the weekend, 5-stroke lead. Awesome, great guy. But is he exciting enough to draw an audience?
It's really hard to say. The audiences in golf today, Danielle, are determined by a lot more than actually the leaderboard. The competition on TV, and most importantly, it's the weather around the country. Because if you think about golf and you think about golfers have two alternatives if you're a big golfer. You can either watch it on TV or you can go out and play golf. Typically in the winter, you can't go out and play golf. And that's why the TV ratings for the PGA Tour are higher in the winter than they are in the summer. But if you look at Chicago right now, Chicago's having the warmest February in 150 years. It's been 50 degrees every day there, and people are out playing golf. And so this weekend, if the weather's nice and people are playing golf in Chicago, they're not going to be watching. And so the golf ratings are skewed because it's the kind of sport, and that's why we love it, that you can be a participant. You can't go out and play in a Super Bowl. You have to watch it on TV. And I know a lot of golfers that would much rather be out playing than watching golf on TV.
Okay, so I was thinking, I'm completely switching gears, but I'm curious because I want to get this in. Live golf. Why can't we have Live versus PGA Tour? Just have them be two tours and just, battle it out. Wouldn't that add some excitement?
Yeah, I think it might. I think you may see some of that. I think it would be particularly good in a team format if you had the PGA Tour playing against Live once a year, like a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup. The problem with all that is these world ranking points, and how do you rank these players for the major championships? Because really, that's what the people care about. Golf fans care about the majors more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Liv still is not getting the world ranking points. If they stay at 54 holes with a shotgun start, I don't think they're going to get them. So I don't know. I would rather see the two groups unified, to be honest with you. I don't think it'll happen next year, but I do see it happening. I think the PGA Tour players, for the most part, are starting to think they've got to find a way to let guys back if they want to come back, albeit with some kind of punishment. I don't know. I'd rather see unification than two tours myself.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. And I don't understand why these guys at LIV think with a shotgun start and a 54-hole tournament that they should get world ranking points equivalent to what the PGA Tour guys are getting when they're playing 72 holes and they're, battling in 4 days. That last day is really what tells, who's the guy with the strongest game. And that's the bottom line.
If you think about why the Saudis are doing this, Danielle, it's clear to me that they are sports watching. Trying to have their image stay as clean as possible. And the fact is, it has worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
On January 30th, there was another report that came out about all these atrocities going on in Saudi Arabia, and barely anybody even talked about it, because all they're talking about is LIV Golf. And so we can identify all the problems there are with LIV Golf, but the fact is it has taken the attention away from what the true issues are in Saudi Arabia right now, and therefore what they have done has worked.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this today's one of those days when an Aramco event on the LET Tour is being played. You know, so they started off on the European Ladies Tour, and now they're, you know, penetrating into something that was much more important in a world sense, and that's the PGA Tour. So they're attacking, and it does distract, and that's my biggest problem. I don't like their money, you know, and I just feel upset that they're able to sway people. But $60 million, you know, $60 million sets your kids up for a long time, and their kids and their kids. Mark Rolfing, it is so good talking with you. And so you're going to be on the road pretty soon.
Yep, heading out the week after next, and I'll hopefully have figured out what I'm going to say by then.
Mark Rolfing, you will. I know you will. You're great. Mark Rolfing is golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports. He's a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, 2022 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with his wife, Debbie, and contributor to the Dad's Advice Project, in addition to member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Daniel.
Aloha. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking Hawaii State Junior Golf and First Tee Hawaii. We're going to have three people on with us, and one of them is the fellow who's, you know, pretty much in charge of everything, Chris Noda. And then we're going to have Scott Reinhart join in and Allison Wallace, one with First Tee. And Allison's role with the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association is a real, it's, I'm not saying it's tough, but it's a lot of work. She's in charge of the annual tournaments. So we'll be back with Chris and Scott and Allison after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwate. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
You know, there are a lot of golfers who are also surfers, or surfers who are golfers. And there's a high surf advisory for north-facing shores of Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, Maui until 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday. But there's also a high surf advisory for the north-facing shores on the Big Island and the west-facing shores on Hawaii Island, and a wind advisory until 6 p.m. this evening for Big Island Summit. So it may be a really good day to go play a round of golf. It's going to be mostly sunny, a little breezy, isolated showers on the windward side, mainly. The high 79, the low tonight 63. Trades are 15 to 25 miles per hour, and they're going to increase to 15 to 30 tomorrow. So today, if you can get out and play a round of golf, or maybe on Monday, the holiday, they're supposed to go down to 15 to 20 by Tuesday. All right, there we have it.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
And now, let's get into the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and First Tee Hawaii, HSJGA, First Tee Hawaii, and LPGA USGA Girls Golf Hawaii. Chris Noda, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Our executive director, Chris Noda. You know, 2023 was a pretty busy year with the Century and the Sony Open in Hawaii. And, of course, that was 2024 as well. So you've already started a very busy year. What's to come this year for you folks?
Gosh, I mean, well, thank you, Danielle. That's a great intro right there. I mean, you know, going into this year, I mean, gosh, I mean, we started out with the Century and Sony. We had a... had our first tee tents there, and just had a huge presence, you know, there during both of those tour events. And going into this year, we ended last year with over 2,200 registered participants for sessions last year with First Tee. So we not only ended the year great, but we started out with you know, the tour events with having some presence there at both of them.
Yeah, and so what kind of response did you get with your, you know, being there?
We had incredible response. You know, over at the Century, I think we had through our tent, and we were kind of keeping a little bit of a track of what was happening. I think we had over 2,000 people come through our area through our tent.
Wow.
Over at Kapalua. Just amazing.
Yeah, that's Maui, relatively small compared to Oahu. How did you do at Sony?
Sony, we were significantly higher than that as well. And we were, you know, just incredible response with all of it. Had all the families coming through and just, you know, had a really, really, really great response with it, along with everyone else that, you know, some of our participants that we've had as well were there. And we also had city and county there along with us who were helping to, you know, we have a partnership with them with the Alawai Golf. With his all-white driving range as well.
That's awesome. Now, what is the feedback that you get from parents who may not have understood how good the game of golf is for kids? What feedback do you get from them after their kids start playing?
You know, it's incredible with the response, I'll tell you, because when you look at everything with our programs and especially with First Tee, you know, when we put together our programs and we have a session, approximately about, you know, 80-something percent of our participants are past participants that have played or participated with us in the past. So, you know, the response from the parents has been, we want to come back. We love the program. Kids love the game. They're having an incredible time, and they're making friends along with it while they're there.
Do they notice a difference in behavior? Like, are they more helpful, or they, you know, just do they adopt some of the expectations that we have for children or adults on the golf course and then take that home?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you look at it and, you know, everything that we do from start to finish, I mean, for example, when you're coming in for first tee session, the kids have to come in, they have to register for themselves, and they have to say, you know, good morning, and they also get their registration, their name tag, and get set up. And parents have, by and large, when they come back to us, the feedback has been incredibly positive, and especially, again, to your point about the behaviors with the children learning about life skills.
Yeah, life skills. That's, and it's when you get to learn life skills in a gentleman or gentlewoman's sport. You know, this isn't football where you're beating each other up. And I don't mean that literally, but you know, you're like rams up against each other. Boom. You know, baseball is also a great sport to learn behavior, but that also is us against them. This is you versus you in a way.
Right. And not only that, with some of the life skills that we do teach the kids through the first tee, you know, a lot of it, we also teach collaborating with others, being able to do teamwork and stuff like that. And it really translates to being able to be just in general a better person, being able to interact, being able to be polite, being able to, you know, work together with others. And you know, again, with the exposure that they get, with the sessions and the socializing, the feedback, the behaviors and all that, it's really been a really great program for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've been talking Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, Mary B. Porter King, for years. You know, I've been doing the show for 26 years. I think we started talking about 26 years ago, at least. And now I want to bring First Tee Hawaii's Scott Reinhart, PGA. He's the program director for First Tee Hawaii. So with the executive director, Chris Noda, we have the program director joining us. Scott Reinhart, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Really good. And so a lot of people ask these questions, so I thought I should just adopt this. What is First Tee Hawaii?
We are a life skills program. We are teaching life skills every day through the game of golf. It's one of the unique games where you have to learn honesty and respect, courtesy for others. Exactly what Chris said about collaboration is, and what I feel is going to be your most important one, being able to deal with everyone around you this day and age, is so important. So that, to me, is one of the best things. And obviously, it's the first thing we do. We have them, as you mentioned, we have them shake hands, look each other in the eye, make sure they're comfortable with just simple interactions that in today's world is just so crucial to open the communication lanes.
Right
on. From there, we just build on it. We use pursuing goals, growing through challenges, building a positive self-identity where they're working on themselves and not comparing themselves to, you know, Tiger Woods or, you know, sometimes parents set those expectations so high, it's hard to meet. So we try to make sure they use what we call personal par. So when they're building a positive self-identity, it's giving them that, you know, that confidence, right? And then from there, we try to go into using good judgment where they put everything together as they've learned for the 5-week session. So we have these sessions opening actually next week. It'll be starting this Monday on the 19th, starting at Alawai. And then on Maui, we have the Dunes at Maui Lani, Wailea Golf Academy, and Pukalani Country Club. So hopefully there's some listeners out there that want to get in on our next sessions and experience these wonderful skills.
Absolutely. So First Tee Hawaii sessions are starting next week, and all of Dunes, Wailea, Pukalani, and the Alawai?
That's correct, yes. And we have our website is www.firstteehawaii.org. And they can sign up online. We also have some spring break camps coming up. So that's going to be later on in March, the week of the 18th through the 21st. So we'll have those open soon as well. So if they keep an eye on our website, that's going to be the way to go.
Are you folks thinking of expanding to Kauai and Hawaii Island?
Correct. Actually, thank you for mentioning that. We have the ocean course at Hokuala on Kauai is going to be starting very soon. We also talked with Kiahuna on Kauai, and Pu'akea is one of our longstanding sites over there that we are recruiting, and we've been training new coaches because our coaches that were on staff, they both got pregnant, so husband and wife.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm glad you said that, because when a woman's pregnant, the guy's pregnant too. That's all there is to it. You guys get
as far as Big Island, yeah. We do have acceptance from the mayor over there that wants to start at all the sites that they're in control of. So we'll be in communication the next few weeks and getting trained up by, it looks like, around April.
All right. This is awesome. So what age groups can sign up? What's the age that you can play here?
So right now we are mainly focusing on 7 to 17, so pretty big age group. At some point we may go into the, you know, the 5, 6, 7 or the 5, 6s and start some younger stuff. But right now we're focusing 7 to 17.
That's awesome. Now, I want to ask another question because I know from my personal experience as a child that I would become disappointed with myself inside myself. And in the process of that, there would be a lack of confidence. And I wouldn't often talk about that with anyone. I mean, who do you talk to? You know, your parents are busy. So I can imagine that a child in a situation might, you know, put themselves down for not being able to perform. Do you ever come across a situation where you get to intervene and let them know that, it, you know, they're still great people and they're going to learn?
100%. Yeah, there's a few weeks where that ties in. And growing through challenges where we talk about developing grit and how to, you know, push through when things are difficult. And then also in the personal PAR week where we're building our positive self-identity.
Yes.
We do hit that. And basically, the way I describe it, Danielle, is, you know, if you had a caddy, for example, and the caddy was telling you, let's say you're on the 18th hole about to hit a shot to win a major championship, and caddy says, you know, here's your 6-iron. I don't think you can get it over the water, but here you go. You would fire that caddy, right? So we tell the kids that we don't allow negative self-talk. So we say no negative self-talk. So if you're going to fire that caddy, would you say the same thing to yourself, or would you want to be positive, right? So we try to get them to think about it a little bit. And obviously negative self-talk is a big detriment. So we try to have them think positively, put that out into, you know, into energy as far as, you know, the similar to The Secret, the book The Secret, you know, always trying to put out positive energy.
Right on.
Is what I believe in. And, you know, I always call it, like I said, I relate it to the caddy situation, and then I call it negative self-talk, and yeah. We always try to avoid it. I usually throw a little story about my mother-in-law in there, but we'll carry that another day.
Oh, who can sign up to be a coach? Do you need coaches? Do you need assistants, volunteers?
So, yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that. Yes, on our Get Involved tab on the firsttheehawaii.org website, you can sign up to be a volunteer coach. We do have limited paid coaches available as well, those spaces. But usually what we're seeing now as the sites that are getting established is the parents are getting involved on a volunteer basis, and they're becoming our level one coaches as well. So that's really where, you know, where we can really spend more time with the juniors when we don't have to just worry about safety. So very, very important to get the parents involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably want my parents not to be with me, my group.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Yeah, it goes both ways. But usually when they want to be with the parent, I tell them, you know, we start talking about, you know, grit and pushing through, and you don't have to cling on there. It's like, nope, come on, let's go have some fun over here.
Right on, right on. That's great. Yeah, that's great. Wow, I just love this. You know, First Tee has come a long way, and First Tee Hawaii, Scott Reinhart, PGA, the program director for First Tee Hawaii, great stuff. You can go to firsttheehawaii.org, O-R-G. And you can find out exactly how to sign up. You can sign up there. You can maybe offer to be a volunteer. They can put you to work. There must be a lot of different things that need to be done to help, you know, organize things behind the scenes. And then there's the coaching. If you are maybe you've had some experience in coaching, and you can get involved that way too. Then there's the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. So from First Tee Hawaii, we move up to Allison Wallace, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. That's only because it's getting a little bit older here. And what is your role at the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, Allison?
Hi, Danielle. First, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Secondly, my role, so my actual title would be tournament manager. So it's really all-encompassing. You notice here you wear a lot of hats, which is a lot of fun. But I work to put together all of the junior tournaments, run and plan and manage all of those events across all the islands for all of our 270-plus members.
That sounds like a lot of work.
You know, some days it can be, but it's really rewarding.
I'm absolutely there. How many tournaments every year do you put together?
We're sitting in around 16 to 17 annual tournaments, trying to improve our game, get the best things we can out there. But that's kind of where we sit right now.
Do you have people who donate products or could donate products that you might need for these tournaments?
Yes, typically we've been looking for sponsors, trying to find people that might want to sponsor a tournament for our kids, help us just get the sport, get their name out there, and realize that, like, the people who are supporting us and what we do, they're not just supporting us, but all of these kids' futures and what they're headed to do one day. So if anyone, products that could be donated, but we're just grateful for the courses that work with us and the people who want to sponsor us and the people who have time to give to us.
Yeah. So how would they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with us would probably be through our info inbox or our office phone number. Both of those can be found online. But, you know, info@hsjga.org, you can send any general inquiries into there, and that would reach any of us at the office. It would reach me directly, and we can get in touch and help in any way possible through that email.
Okay, info@hsjga. That stands for Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. So hsjga.org. That's where you'd find out more. Do you need volunteers to help you with these tournaments?
Yes, we do.
And who?
Always.
Who? What kind of, you know, what kind of skills are required?
If you have experience in golf, that's great. But honestly, we've had so many volunteers that come out there that just don't even have any experience at all. We don't need, you know, if they have it, it's great. But again, if they just want to come and help us shuttle kids at tournaments or help pass out snacks with food and beverage or spot golf balls, you know, there's so many positions that don't require any knowledge. And of course, you do have some positions like being a rules official and being a checkpoint monitor, things along those lines that do require a little bit more knowledge and experience to say you need to know the rules of golf, you need to know how this operates, but you don't need to have full experience just to come out and help.
Excellent. And then again, you could go to info@hsjga.org to find out more about what's needed and how you would qualify. And that's hsjga.org, info@. Allison, you know, we were talking, I'm sure you heard my conversation with Scott, who's still here, I assume. Do you also work with the kids who are now older with different aspects of the, you know, mental, emotional game?
Yes, a lot of my role is, again, mainly running the tournament, so I don't have direct, I'm not the one out there coaching kids, doing things along those lines, but, you know, when you do just become that tournament manager, you start running into a lot of these kids, and you do get to learn a lot about these kids' mentalities and how they overcome challenges, how they handle adversity, things like that, and I've actually seen a lot of that since I've been here. And it's been more just being a person that they can talk to when they come off the course and say, yeah, like, this is what happened today. And one thing I've learned from the great Mary B. Porter King is that when those kids come off is, you know, they can tell you anything that happens, but you always want to bounce back. Well, what good happened? Right. What was your best shot of the day?
Yes.
And when you turn that around, it's like immediately that one question turns everything back around for them. And so you kind of deal with that mental aspect, but I'm definitely not as in-depth as Scott is, but
it's
still a good
perfect
experience to, like, get to learn.
Allison, that was perfect, okay? You know, because we always walk away. I mean, we, like, the general we, me, I'll walk away with, God, I could have done that better. I could have gotten this better. I could have. And that, at some point in life, is a very good thing to have because that pushes you to get better and better and better. But in the beginning of life, that negativity can also squelch all your feelings of empowerment. And for you to turn it around and say, hey, that shot that you had on Bubba, that's that, you know, what was your best shot of the day? That, and then, and that turns everything around. Then it's a bright sparkle and it brings you back. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. I really enjoyed seeing you at our event that just, the name of which just walked right out of my mind. Chris Noda, where were we just last week on Saturday? For the PGA of America.
The whole Laulea one.
Yes, thank you. At the whole Laulea. Seeing you folks there, Chris Noda and Scott Reinhardt and Allison Wallace, your presentations were perfect, were wonderful. And I am so inspired by all of you. And seeing the how Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and First Tee Hawaii has thrived over the years with your hard work and your dedication. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you. And I'll say aloha, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I just, please give me a holler. Chris, make sure everybody can get in touch with me because I'd love to have you back on the show again.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to meet Amanda Kuna, an adaptive golfer who is legally blind. She's from Kailua here in Hawaii. And last year, she won her category at the U.S. Blind Golfing Championships, and she tied the top male golfer. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Got a shutterbug in your life? Pro Camera Hawaii has just what you need. Pro Camera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. Pro Camera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories. When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
All right. Coming in, Amanda Kuna, adaptive golfer, legally blind, and she's from Kailua, Hawaii. And welcome into the clubhouse, Amanda.
Hi, it's good to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And how do you pronounce your last name? Did I do it?
Kuna.
Kuna.
Kind of like,
yeah. Yes, thank you. Kuna, I was afraid that I was listening to some audio that, you know, this guy is presenting everyone, and he's got this real, and now, here comes, and I'm like, what is he saying?
Yeah, no, it happens to me a lot, so I totally understand.
So, Amanda, adaptive golfer, you know, I'm just so incredibly impressed with everything that you have done in your life. And, you know, you're young. Amanda was selected to represent the Northern America Blind Vision Impaired Golf Team in the upcoming Vision Cup, which is kind of like a Ryder Cup, an awesome introduction, as they put it, to the North American team playing against the rest of the world. And this is going to be playing in Vienna, Austria, from July 24th to the 26th. Were you, like, did you expect this? Did you know you were in the running?
I somewhat did, but also I was, like, really nervous because obviously nothing is set in stone. And so I was really happy when I got the call that I was selected.
I bet. Oh, yes. And so you're getting all ready for a journey this year to Vienna. How's the travel coming together? All the planning and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah. My dad has been put to the works because for me, I kind of suck at travel planning, and my dad has been amazing in everything, finding hotels and finding like different routes. Like, we're taking a train from London to Vienna, or through Paris, but then to Vienna.
Wow. Which,
you know, wouldn't have thought of that, but like, it's crazy, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful. European trains, and you travel and you see, it's like taking a tour of Europe from a train, and they're very comfortable trains.
Oh, are they? That's
good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've never been to Europe.
Oh, it's really going to make you feel comfortable. I was going to say the sights, you know, but you got to tell us, when you were growing up, Amanda Cunha, adaptive golfer, now legally blind, tell us the story of, were you born blind? How did this happen?
So I was born sighted, and I grew up for the first, like, 17 years of my life fully sighted. I actually had, like, 20/20 vision my entire life, but I wanted reading glasses so bad as a kid. But then when I was in my junior year at, like, in May, leaving junior year, I noticed I was losing some vision. I guess you can say I was born with the condition, but I wasn't born blind.
Wow. So is this when you were at University of Arizona?
No, this is when I was at Les Jardins.
Les Jardins.
Kailua.
Right. Okay, so you're in Les Jardins, and you're starting to notice something's going on with your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Did you already play the game?
Yes. I've been playing since I was, like, 5 years old with my dad.
Wow. Okay, so what was going on with your vision?
So pretty much, like, I was driving to school one day, and, like, I noticed that out of my left eye, I couldn't see the middle of the road.
Oh, my.
And, and it was crazy because it wasn't like something was just, like, you know, a little blurry. It just wasn't there, which I found that very odd. So we went to, like, a bunch of, like, doctors and trying to get whatever is going on fixed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now this is, can you not see at all?
No, so I actually have a lot of peripheral vision. I don't have, I would say, like, majority of my central vision. So wherever I look, that's kind of where my vision is gone. But I'm able to see, like, buildings and bigger objects rather than detail.
Right. So you will be impressed by some of the sights that you see in Europe.
Yes.
Far out. How long did you, what did it take for you to adapt? I guess after time, it becomes normal.
I would say it definitely took, which this is kind of weird, but it took my entire senior year of adapting and learning how to kind of live life and also be a student, because of the fact that I was a senior in high school and I had to pretty much relearn how to do schoolwork. I was constantly talking with my teachers to find out what's the best way to, you know, complete my homework assignments and how they can support me in the classroom. It was definitely a big adjustment in school, not even thinking about what happened after, like, outside of school.
Right.
An adjustment.
But the fact that you were your own advocate, asking, you know, telling them how you and working with your teachers, given the situation, I'm just so impressed. And now you are a competitive golfer, and I can't help but wonder how in the world, if you can't see the center, you can only see the peripheral, how do you know where to put your ball?
that's where my dad comes in, or any spotter who's working with me. Basically, they're my biggest help on the course, because I could hit just like a shot, but I would not know where it's going. I wouldn't know where to aim and different things like that. So having a spotter / guide kind of be there and kind of direct me is definitely a huge help.
Okay, so they help you, but they say that the shot is XYZ. And from there, you have to make the adjustment with your club. And do you have muscle memory that helps you?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Because since I only lost my vision 3 years ago now, I have played golf for about 15 years-ish about my life. And I definitely have muscle memory, but I'm still working on my swing. So everything's kind of interesting whenever I have any fixes.
When you have fixes, what do you mean by that?
So I'm working currently with my coach to kind of reconstruct my swing.
Okay.
Because he said I developed a lot of habits as like a young kid, because we tend to overswing a lot and then use the momentum we have from that to swing.
Yes.
Whereas now I've more developed muscles and, the ability to swing without like reaching all the way past parallel in a backswing and hitting.
You know, for all of us who don't have this issue, guys, you have nothing to complain about. I read some articles about you, and I would have thought that putting would be the most difficult. What's the most difficult club for you to deal with?
I would say it's my wedge. Whenever I'm chipping between, 20, not even 20, maybe like 15 yards all the way out until like 60 yards out, that's like my most uncomfortable place on the golf course, because it's so hard to judge distances when you have to be that precise, and it makes or breaks the hole if you miss the green. And so it's definitely very hard to judge that distance and be able to still, get a good score.
Yeah. Well, and the muscle memory doesn't help as much there. It's like finesse, right?
Yeah, because definitely chipping is one of the things that it's not just like a one swing does all. There's different grasses, there's different slopes, and it's such a mess.
Dad, what kind of grass do we have here? How thick is it? What is it? Does he help with all that?
I mean, not with what type of grass, definitely not, but definitely in regard of, yardages, and he also helps me by telling me a different yardage to hit. So since I tend to I have a tendency to underhit my shots because I'm very anxious that it will go way past the green, he'll tell me a yardage that's a bit farther than what I'm hitting, so that way I feel a bit more, comfortable to actually hit the ball.
Wow. Wow, this is, now you're, as an adaptive athlete, and you're involved in the adaptive athlete program? Is that?
Yeah, at the University of Arizona, there's an adaptive athlete program, and they have different sports. They have wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, wheelchair tennis, adaptive swimming, and adaptive golf, and a few others, but it's incredible what they do here. And Peter Hughes, who's the athletic director, he has made it such an amazing adjustment for me to be able to be a student athlete, because I definitely would not be a student athlete if I didn't have him.
Wow, what a human being. Thank you very much, sir. Now, what I need to ask you is, what is it about golf that makes you want to continue under the circumstances to play?
Yeah, golf is such an adaptive sport. There are so many people through different areas of life that are able to play golf, and I've met amazing people. Even just being out in Tucson, I've played with, I know you talked to Bailey Bish.
Yes.
And I was actually at her house for Thanksgiving when she was on your show, and so people like that, they've definitely brought me in as a close family friend, and I couldn't be more grateful for them. But I don't know, golf is just, you're able to play no matter, like, what disability you have, what your handicap is. Even if you suck, you're still able to play, you know?
Yes.
It's, like, it's just a great sport to be able to just play anywhere in the country.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Even if you're awful, you can still play golf. It doesn't matter as long as you don't take it personally.
Yeah, no, really. And I truly mean that because, like, when I was in middle school, I definitely wasn't the best ever, like, in my class or even just in my divisions. And I just kept having fun because it's like, yeah, you just play. Like, it's...
I just really love it. So you must really like to compete.
Yeah, I do.
You do? Was that since you were little or once you got into game sports?
I feel like it was kind of like both. My parents put me into a lot of different sports as a kid. I did definitely golf. I also did karate, which I feel like that's what kind of kicked my competitive edge.
Ah, yes.
And I ended up becoming a black belt.
Wow.
So I kind of had that competitiveness since, you know, I was really young.
Why, someone also pointed out that you'd like golf to be in the Paralympics.
Yes.
That's interesting. I thought there was Paralympics already.
I was so surprised when I found out it wasn't, because adaptive golf now is huge, and I would love to see it in the Paralympics, especially because I believe in the next Paralympics, it's going to be in L.A., which would be perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it? It'd be, like, real close to home.
Yeah.
But how have you sent in letters? Are you doing anything like that to ask the Olympic committees to consider that?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm definitely trying to advocate it through the different organizations I'm working with, especially at Arizona, because they have a lot of alumni who have become Paralympians. But I didn't even think to send out letters. That's an amazing idea. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really, you know, letters. You'd be surprised how many people actually read those things. Particularly if you're, you know, you present your case, and you present your case very, very well. This is going to be an amazing experience going to Europe for this mm-hmm. Ryder Cup style competition. How did they find out about you?
So I had already previously been with this organization called the U.S. Blind Golf Association, and they kind of work with this other organization called IBGA, and basically it's them who kind of picks who's going to represent them. And I have been already playing in their tournaments and in their championships, so I already had, like, the tournaments and scores and such too. Kind of get me in that area of range.
Yeah, this is great. I'm really happy to meet you, and you really threw me when you said I listened to your show. So, I was thinking, you know, this golf show, but you were talking about a long time ago when you were going to school.
Yeah, I can remember because my mom used to drop me off at school in the morning, and I could just remember because she never wanted to play an aux and listen to music, but she always wanted to listen to the radio show. So I have it, like, drilled into my mind, like Danielle Tucker Crater 96, like, and all of the radio kind of, like, headliners, like one line, like, pretty funny.
It is. No, it's I am honored that, you know, you are that you remember where I was working at the time when you were going to school. That's so cool. No, that is so cool.
It's honestly my honor to be able to talk to you and be on your show, and this show is even too, because, like, just it's crazy to even think that, like, I'm talking to a radio show host and, you know, where I've gotten thus far.
Well, you are doing fabulously, Amanda Cunha, adaptive golfer, legally blind. She's right for, you know, Amanda. Last year, she won her category at the U.S. Blind Golfing Championships and tied the top male golfer. How did that feel?
Oh, that was pretty insane. This tournament was my first ever, I think, blind golf championship. And I wasn't obviously like expecting like the sky, but I wanted to play my best. And on the last day, I found out that I was only like a few strokes behind the person in the lead. And so I was like really excited to kind of like see what I could do.
And then you tied the top male golfer. I mean, hey, hey, girl.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, dang. Yeah, that's, I was like, I had no words.
That it probably made your competitive you very, very proud.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. It's a pleasure talking with you, Amanda. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Absolutely. Please stay in touch, okay?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Text me whenever. All right, Amanda Kuna, adaptive golfer from Kailua, Hawaii, and she's going to be in the Vision Cup. That's coming up. Yeah, the North American team, she's playing against the rest of the world, like the Ryder Cup, and it's all happening in Vienna, Austria, from July 24th through the 26th, and we'll be following you. Thanks so much, Amanda. Well,
thank you so much, Danielle. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Aloha.
All right.
And we're going to come back with Jeremy Schilling, the contributor and researcher for PGA Magazine, and he's got his own podcast. It's called Teeing It Up. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brusseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or book with him at WaileaGolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, Jeremy Schilling is contributor and researcher for PGA Magazine. His podcast is Teeing It Up. He was writer of Jay Schill's blog, but I can't find any updates. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeremy.
Thank you, Danielle. I've been doing too much researching and too much podcasting to be writing for the blog. But thank you for having me. And it is a joy to be on the same bill as Mark Rolfing, who I have so much respect for and have had on my podcast. And he's just an awesome man and just an awesome ambassador for Hawaiian golf.
Isn't he wonderful? He really is. He's going to be on the road at all the different PGA tournaments, tour tournaments. And what are you two for PGA Magazine?
So I do a lot of behind-the-scenes work for PGA Magazine, some And then some forward-facing work as well. So I do a lot of database management stuff, you know, fancy-sounding stuff. And then front-facing, I am one of the lead best practice writers. So for all the PGA professionals listening out there, those best practice articles, PGA best practice emails you get in your inbox, those were most likely written by me.
Wow, that is so cool. That is so
cool. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
So you get in touch with golf industry professionals over the phone, email, social media, and you do interviews for the daily PGA best practices newsletter?
You nailed it. You nailed it. Whether you want to call it cold calling or whether you want to call it educational calling, as I call it, because a lot of times we have leads as if somebody wants to talk about something or other. And we call them and have a chat, and they have wisdom that they want to share with their fellow PGA pros. And as we like to say, it's by pros for pros. So it's PGA pros literally giving up their secrets, which I think is awesome. So it's really cool, and it's really heartwarming to see somebody who has just made, a whole lot of money in the past year financially, now tell the world why they did it and, you know, what the secret is to their junior program or what the secret is to their, you know, tournament program, whatever it may be, the openness that they've had, it has been really, really cool.
That is nice. Wow. Yeah, like you said, sharing your secrets to success. Some people
exactly.
Like... just to hold on to it, you know, this is mine. But if everybody's succeeding, it's a joy. That's fantastic. Now, unfortunately, Tiger Woods got flu-like symptoms, had to jump in the golf cart. He was dizzy, not feeling well at all, and took a ride away, you know, and he was so dehydrated, they put one of those bags, so rehydration bags, you know, intravenously so that he could get rehydrated. And being sick will do that to you. But what were your takeaways when you were watching Tiger Woods?
So I had a couple takeaways. Number one, the golf swing itself looks fine. You know, people will point to the shank, but remember, the shank on 18 on day one was caused by his back. And as, you know, he has said, the hard part, the golf part, he thinks he can do, and he thinks he can do at a high level. And I tend to agree with him. It's the easy part for you and me, the walking part, that has been causing him so many problems, whether it's the back or whether it's the ankle and foot, whatever it is. The flu just, you know, he did not look himself yesterday. So I was not surprised to see that it was the flu. I was concerned when an ambulance and two fire trucks pulled up to Riviera. Those sites on social media are never good.
No.
But when I heard that the sole reason for it being there was just to get IV bags, okay, this makes sense. And the video of him walking out of the clubhouse was way better. So hopefully we'll see him down the road. He wants to play once a month. I think the game is there if he can somehow overcome competitive rust. And whether it's, you know, anybody out there listening, whether it's your friends, you know, trying to get those first couple rounds in after the winter or, you know, some time off, or whether it's, you know, those that have those at the top of the game, it's very hard to do it when you can only play so few times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see him playing on the Champions Tour, where you can use a cart. What do you think?
It's funny. He, for years, said no, no, no. And then recently he's been like, the cart is really nice. I'm not that far off. Only 2 years off. He's kind of wavered in what he wants to do. What I do think is that if it's a major on the senior circuit, I think he might do it. And I, his so so many of the people he grew up with, the Freud couples of the world, are out there.
Yeah.
I think he might dive into it. But I think the competitive guy in him that wants to beat these guys, yeah. these young guys,
yeah.
will gnaw at him, and he'll stay out on the PGA Tour as long as his body lets him.
Yeah, you're right. He's 48. I mean, it's hard to say that. Tiger Woods is 48. Is that possible?
Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy. It's like how fast did the time go? Like,
yep. And at some point with all of those surgeries, he's got to come, you know, say, okay, I'm 48. And it's natural for the body to not be as, you know, as good as it was, even though I'm really good. And I've had all these surgeries. Sometimes you just have to give yourself a little bit of a break.
Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
Father Time
exactly.
Is undefeated in that regard. What I do think is interesting is the Charlie factor. And will Charlie, you know, having a high school title under his belt, now playing with his dad, learning from his dad, will that somehow keep him out there longer than he would have previously?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Absolutely. And, just a thought, going back to Riviera. It was bumpy. So if it was bumpy, that means it was even hard to walk. It's harder to walk in it. You know, not only is it going to affect the ball, but it's also going to affect how it feels when you're walking. And you can easily, pitch something like an ankle. Although he says his ankle and the foot is really quite wonderful.
The fusion seems to have solved that issue. It's just lack of mobility out of it.
What do you mean by out of it?
So when he had the ankle fusion last April, I guess it was, it took the pain that was there and moved it to other parts of his body, he says, whether it's his hips or his shoulders or parts of the back. The forces, as he likes to say, have to go somewhere. It's not in the ankle. So the pain we saw at the Masters, the pain we saw at the PGA 2 years ago, is no longer there because the ankle has been fused to the foot. So it can't, like, there's no more areas for that part to have pain in.
Yes.
And what it has led to is a lack of mobility in that foot, in that right foot, in terms of using the ground as a ground force for his swing. It is a very armsy, very upper body swing built on timing. So that's been the benefit of that surgery. But the problem with it is that you can have your back flare up. And you see those back spasms on Thursday, and that leads to, you know, something like that happening where you can have a shank or something worse come because it's all timing and it's an armsy swing, and that can happen with armsy golf swings versus those who can use the ground.
You know, I am so impressed with your evaluation and your explanation of things. I'm also impressed with the way Tiger Woods described the shank presenting with the hosel, you know?
Yes, the hosel presented itself first. I'm going to use that as next. Well, hopefully I don't have a shank next time.
Right.
And second of all, thank you for your kind words there. But third of all, yes, his way with words, whether it's trash, whether it's, just add that up to the, you know, feels, windows, just put that one in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, that one.
Will present itself first. Yeah.
Yeah, were you the one who said that's what you're going to use in the future if it happens to you? I saw that on social media. I'm going to use that from now on. That's the.
It may not have been me, but I definitely will. I definitely for my friends listening, watch out. It comes spring.
Right. I'm presenting.
But there's one thing about Riv that I also want to point out, if I can.
Sure.
Is that. When you know, people talk about the bumpy greens there and just the way that land is and then the way that the greens are, because of his limitations, he's now being forced to play limited starts on some of the hardest golf courses on the PGA Tour. Eliminate what Patrick Cantlay is doing, right? Five-shot lead. 8-under par is leading 236 if you eliminate his score for a second. So this is a hard golf course. And then you look at his future starts. Sawgrass or Bay Hill, the Masters, Valhalla for the PGA, Pinehurst for the U.S. Open, Drew for the Open Championship. This is not, you know, Palm Springs and Dome Golf.
You know.
So he's, there's two things going on here, which is he has to get himself healthy and to overcome rust. And he's playing hard golf courses with guys who have had starts. For example, for Cantlay, this is his fifth start of the year. He's already got some mojo going while he's starting flat. So it's really hard what he's attempting to do, and that may make the Champions Tour more, look better. Or it may just keep his stubborn body and mind wanting to figure out a way to pull this off.
Yeah. Well, he's got a mind that it demands, and he somehow figures out a way to do it. And that's
it does.
You know, Patrick Cantlay, by the way, has a 64 and a 65. He's 13 under, 5 strokes ahead of the nearest Luke List. Jason Day is right there. It's interesting to see. Now, what do you see in the putting stroke of our dear top player in the world, number one best player in the world, who just can't seem to make his putter go, and I can't seem to remember his name?
Scottie Scheffler.
Him.
Yes. Who from 4 to 8 feet this year on the PGA Tour is only 63% and is 123rd stats-wise. It is weird, Danielle. It is weird. I don't know if it's... to this point, the stroke, at times it looks outside in. At times it looks like it's just Poana doing what Poana does.
Yes.
But then you go back to last year and it was the same thing. So, you know, he has a putting coach in Phil Kenyon. I have full confidence in Phil, but part of this may be mental, and part of this may be, you know, oh, my God, here I am on the green again. I've hit it, you know, to 8 feet or whatever it is, just like I always do, because that's Scottie Scheffler golf, and I cannot make a putt to save my life. And it has to be gnawing at him, and you've seen some of these visible reactions. He is as flatline emotion-wise as there is. He is in the Dustin Johnson Hall of Fame for just flatline emotion. And he's slamming clubs in his bag, and, you know, pouting. This is very un-Scotty-like behavior. But I would be, too, if I was the way that he's been putting. I think the move to Bermuda coming up in over these next couple weeks will help him greatly. I think getting back to Augusta, where he's won, will help him greatly. I think, and you hear this cliche all the time, he needs to see a couple putts go in the hole.
Well, I agree with you.
And that may just take off.
Yeah, no, cliche or not, I agree with you. You got to see it, and you got to believe it, and that it can happen again. And right now, I see him not believing in anything he does with the putter. You know, he has zero confidence that he's going to be successful. And when he slammed his putter, I was like, oh, my goodness. That's so...
Like, what am I... Yeah, it's like this is not the Scottie Scheffler we know. And what's fascinating about that, you know, subplot within a subplot of sorts, is he's somebody right now that is, you know, he's at 4 under. He's 9 back, but he can easily shoot this golf course because of all the rain. They've gotten 14 inches over the last couple of weeks. And yes, that's correct. 14 inches in Los Angeles. He could easily shoot 64, 64, something like that. Right. And try to make himself move up the leaderboard, but will the putter cooperate? And does he have the confidence to think he can shoot 64, 64?
Yeah. And that's
the problem. That's the fascinating subplot within a subplot.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, it's not that far-fetched because there's, you know, some really, really good scores here. 64-65, Patrick Cantlay, 65, well, 69. Gee, only a, what's wrong with this? He had a 65. These are low scores for this golf course. And I think it's exactly the reason why you said it's been raining so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those atmospheric rivers, unfortunately, have hurt this golf course. Yet it's got the green speed fooled Tiger on day one. The balls were rolling out. They're doing everything they can to get this golf course back firm again like it usually is. It will rain on Sunday, apparently, but today should be good and nice weather-wise. So it should dry out a little bit. A guy I am looking for, Danielle, just a a little guy that I'm hinting towards is Xander Schauffele, Cantlay's best friend.
Yes.
He's sitting there at 6 under.
Yes.
If he goes low, watch out.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Zalatoris did really well, too. I was just turning over to look at the leaderboard. It's been such a pleasure. You'll have to be on the show again. Jeremy Schilling, his podcast is Teeing It Up, Jeremy Schilling. And I need to see the John A. Burns Intercollegiate. The Rainbow Warriors are hosting. And Blaise Akana and Kobe Iray, who finished at 2 under, tee for 20, tied 20. Akana is a senior from Honolulu, and he qualified for the PGA Tour Sony Open in Hawaii for the second consecutive year. And Scott Simpson, he's the coach over here. Blaise is a gifted leader on our team. His patience and perseverance make him a special person both on and off the course. The third and final round is today. 9:30 is when it starts this morning. Attendance is free for walking spectators. And the golf course, Hokuala, is absolutely gorgeous. So it'd be a great day for you to go, you know, with the high surf advisories and all that stuff. Go support our team. Right now, Long Beach State leads at 15 under. Grand Canyon and Washington State and Arizona are all tied for second at 10 under. Utah's at 9 under. And we've got a great rundown here. Wonderful cast of characters. And it's just going to be a great time. So I've got to close. Thank you so much again for being on the show, Jeremy. And now let me thank the people who make all of this possible. We've got Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories. Really, their staff will help you find what you need. Don't know what to choose? Hey, give them a gift card. And it's all at the Pearl Kai Shopping Center, one of my favorite shopping centers, Pearl Kai. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. They can't find you without your branding. And so your sign, you just, Honolulu Sign Company. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. And the Aloha Power Equipment guys, yeah, it's President's Weekend. President's Day is Monday. It's Aloha Power's President's Week sale. We have specials in every category. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Chainsaws, mowers, blowers, trimmers, generators. You want them? We got them. That's right. And we ship off island. There are new shipments arriving every day. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station. And of course, in Waipahu, it's Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. And tell them Danielle sent you. Well, really a pleasure. Let me just give you this information one more time. Mostly sunny and breezy, isolated showers on the windward side. The high today, depending on where you live, is between 74 and 79, and the low 63 to 68. Hey, it could be, if you're at Volcano, it'll be 52, probably. Trade winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. increasing to 15 to 30 on Sunday, so be prepared, and decreasing then again to 15 to 20 by Tuesday. So we're going to have some windy conditions. High surf advisory, of course, in effect for north-facing shores, Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and Maui, and more so on the Big Island, north-facing and west-facing shores. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.